There were extraordinary times. Mm. But when you think you lived through that, and what kind of changes would you make if you could? If you were back there again, what mistakes did you make?
Around the middle of the 80s and the late 80s, I decided I'd had enough. Yes. I wanted out. But on top of that, I decided I was actually living my life the wrong way. Totally the wrong way. This was not the way I wanted to live my life. I had no interest in business, etc., etc. So I retired at the age of 53. And I went back to UCD. And I did French and Irish. And then I did a master's in Irish. And I was going to do a PhD in Irish with...
Why did you make
I realised that... I wasn't bad at the other thing. I was pretty good at it. But it just wasn't for me.
Why did you get out, though? I mean, was it too difficult? Was it too...
No. But at this stage, it was like putting on an old pair of socks. Okay. No. I had it all.
But was the challenge gone out?
I suppose the challenge was gone. I wanted to do other things. I got a few, pardon me, share options. Now, you're a very polite gentleman from Kerry, and you'll probably say I deserve them. I consider that I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And Henry had to sort of share them.
Henry who?
Henry Lund.
Oh, yes.
He introduced this share option scheme, and I was the only executive on the board, so he was saying things like, well, of course, they're not all for me. I'll share them with Tom, for example. I got my hands on a few. I know he was very good. Henry was great. He was a terrific manager. I think he sails around the Caribbean now. I don't know what he does. But nice guy. Of course, you couldn't get the wrong side of him either, do you know? Yeah. But then that's corporate life, do you know?
Yeah.
And I hate it. Now, my brother was brilliant at it. My brother ended up in Northern Telecom, nearly running the bloody place, do you know?
He
realised very young that you can have all the qualifications you like, engineering, accountancy, marketing.
What's your brother's first name again? That's right.
And, but really, what happens after a certain stage is politics.
Yeah.
You're playing politics.
Of course.
I'm bad at that. I do my job. I would do my job to the best I can. And I expect the other guy to look after the politics.
Yes.
Foolish. That is very foolish in corporate life.
Okay.
Very foolish.
Because you must know what's going on.
You must. And you must work at it.
You must work at it.
Oh, you must work at it.
Yeah.
And I would consider that a waste of time.
I see.
Yeah, total waste. I really would consider it a waste.
So what did you do? You studied Irish.
Yes, and I went and I tutored and lectured in Irish and...
Where?
Harrison, in UCD.
Did you?
Yeah, and this chap, terrible nice fellow, Harrison, he was... he took me on, signed up to do a PhD based on Martin O'Kine, the Ishkilta Martin O'Kine, Agus Honig, Alshonim, I got cancer. Yeah. And funnily enough, while I was trying to recover from the cancer, my old director died. Alan Harrison died. Now, Alan Harrison was a Trinity graduate and had opened the batting for YMCA.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yes.
And was a great Irish scholar and medieval scholar, classical Irish. And I would have loved to have done that. But cancer does funny things to you. One of the things it does is foreshorten everything. And the idea of settling down for 4 years to do a PhD, it just doesn't arise. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the year 2000, and it's now 2014, and I still think I'm going to die in 3 months. You know, it does funny things to you, having serious cancer.
Terminal?
I wasn't expected to last 3 months. Alan Field, my director, my great friend, who's died of cancer since, said, you know, we didn't think you were going to come through at all. You know? Yeah. It was serious enough. You can see it still.
I do, yeah. I was, so it was the pressure of everything maybe that brought that on a little
could
bit.
Have been. Could have been. I do believe that.
I mean, when you're living that life.
Yeah, and stressful jobs.
Very stressful.
Yeah.
And right up at the top.
Well, yeah. At the top of what, Morris?
I know, but you know, you were put...
I hate those words.
But you were put in a position where you actually... A person's... career depended on what you would say.
Yeah. But I mean, in this life, you've got to try and have certain, I hate the word principles, but you've got to somehow try and be kind. In the middle of all this, there has to be some humanity.
Yeah.
You know, but
is there really?
Well,
position.
Yeah, for the very successful guys, no. But I couldn't go along with that. And it's where I fell foul in the politics. you know, the, if you like, the nasties. They see that very early and they work at it, you know, and they survive and they look after themselves. I've no interest in that. Funny enough, the guy who's just retired, Norbert McDermott, my old financial controller now, he wouldn't be a great politician, but he'd be brilliant at his job. Now, that's the kind of guy I loved.
And you did know? You have interaction with politicians in no. that time at all?
No.
Would you have
no.
had meetings with...
No, no, not with
Garrett
politicians.
Fitzgerald?
No, but I'd see them.
Yeah.
And I'd be at some of the meetings that Mary Harney was at and that kind of thing, but I wouldn't have seen her as
I don't.
In any way important. Well, I wouldn't. I don't see them as important now. I taught them Irish just here. Are we in Leinster House? Isn't that Leinster House?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a ring from a guy after, just a few years ago, would I teach some civil servants Irish? So I said, yeah, okay. And I did it for about a year. And I used to go in there and be Pat Rabbit and Enda Kenny. I always, but in UCD, again, because of all the terrible scandals, in UCD, I would have been lecturing and tutoring 17 and 18-year-olds. So I always left the door open.
Yeah.
And I always said to them, if your mum and dad want to come in and sit down in this class, they're very welcome.
Yeah.
I want you to go home and tell them they're very welcome. Now, they may not know what's going on because it's all us Gaelic, but they're very welcome. So, and at that age, they go home and tell everything, do you know? But, so I used to leave the door open here, although they were older and all the rest of it. But the lads would be going in and out, Enda and Pat Rabbit, and they'd drop in because the Taonica, Gaelic, they speak very well. And I'd have a chat with them and that kind of thing. So that's my only connection.
What would your leanings be in politics? Would you be Fine Gael,
Fianna Fáil? No. I would be left-wing.
Would you?
No, you have to excuse me. I mean, this is all. We're definitely all.
We're all. No, I would like to know.
Well, but I've always felt that I would lead the revolution.
Go away.
Yeah. Well, I just think there's so much injustice. And I would write these injustices. During the strike, the PAYE strike, the lads all came in to me and said, look, we're going to march. Do you even remember them?
I do, of course.
Yeah. So I said, grand, if you march, great. You know the place is going to close. I said, no, the place isn't going to close. So they said, well, we're going to march. So I said, grand. I said,
yeah.
I will lead you out. I will lead you. There's no good taking the attitude of, I'm the management. That's hopeless. That gets you nowhere. So I said, I will lead you out. And there's only one condition. What's that? The machines keep going. Oh, I said, look, that's the condition. Otherwise, it's all off. Well, how can we do it? I said, well, we do half the crew on the machines. They're quite capable of running it. So the machines ran. And I marched out South Circle Road, and halfway down South Circle Road, I said, no, I've work to do it, and I went back.
And this was all during that strike
time
in the mills?
Yeah. No, it was a bit after that, wasn't it? I think it was a bit after that. No, my politics would be... I just think the whole thing is so unjust. I mean, what's been going on? It's dreadful what's been going on. Absolutely appalling. The rich getting richer. Oh, dreadful, Morris. Dreadful. Yeah. I'm not going to vote on Friday. I just can't vote for them. They're...
Really?
No.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tom Hogan. Okay. Yes, it's been some story, I'll tell you, really.
Well, it's only scratching the surface. Now, Paul is a great guy. You see, Paul was general manager of CB Packaging.
Paul McGee,
yeah. And he was general manager of CB Packaging. So we met at the same level. I was managing director of Bailey's. He was sort of CB.
Yes.
But he, Paul, as you know, very expansive. And like he'd loads more energy than he has now, and he was only on one stick.
Yes.
And I loved him from the start.
Did
I
you?
Still do. Yeah, yeah, we get on like a
great friends.
Great friends, yeah. But Paul was deputy group managing director. Now, Paul was before Henry.
Yeah.
And I saw him as the saviour, because he saw immediately that the mill was a disaster. I mean, the mill was a disaster, Morris. An absolute bloody disaster. And Paul saw that. I saw that he saw that, and I thought, right, I'd hitch my wagon to this star. But he was savaged politically. He opened a little place in Donegal for making plastic bags, and, well, politically it was used to hang him out to dry.
I see. Tom Hogan,
okay.
Thank you.
Now, you would...